It so happens that today, October 1st, is the exact 10th anniversary of my retirement. So if I don't seem to know what I'm doing, I'm out of practice. I've enjoyed the past 30 years, 20 as rector here and 10 in retirement. God bless Trinity Church and all her members. Thanks be to God for the opportunity our family had to live here in Stanton with all three of our kids going all the way through the public school system and doing well. This morning I want to speak personally, and I hope some of what I say about my own experience will stimulate you to reflect on your own experience, even though it may be very different, and even though we may disagree. From Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Anybody want to explain that? Where we stay up in New Hampshire, there is a pergola. Anybody know what a pergola is? We got all kinds of opportunities this morning. A pergola filled with grapevines. A friend of ours planted them some years ago, pursuing a hobby as a viticulturalist. Make that your word of the day. Grape grower. Every year, many of us taste the grapes as they develop a purplish-bluish glow. And every single year, they taste absolutely awful. And we don't go back for seconds. We eat sour grapes. You'd think we'd learn after a while. And our teeth are set on edge. God and Ezekiel are conversing, as it were. It was a common idea in those days, and in ours too, that the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. Not so, God tells Ezekiel. You neither suffer nor benefit in God's eyes because of your parents' relationship with God, or lack thereof. Through no fault of my own, I grew up as a male, white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant, a WASP. Again, though, through no fault of my own, I still am. I'm not among the downtrodden of this world. And as I look around the room, I see a number of men in the same tenuous condition, along with a number of female WASPs. And despite our best efforts, the Episcopal Church, though vowing to welcome absolutely everyone, is not very diverse. I was accepted when I was in high school. I was accepted at a prestigious all-male liberal arts college. And I was pretty proud of myself until I found out later it was because my father was an alumnus. So much for Ezekiel and his wisdom. Of my 300 classmates, two were black. Today, the same college is co-ed and quite diverse racially and in other ways. The day I graduated in June 1966, Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara was given an honorary degree, so we might be said to be classmates. This was during the height of the Vietnam War, when many of us were trying to come to terms with how best to serve our country. 10% of the class walked out when McNamara stood to receive his degree, and many of the rest of us were uneasy. In fact, I had told my parents that morning I was considering joining those who were walking out. And my mother threw an absolute fit. I still wasn't sure what the right thing to do was, but I knew it wasn't to upset my mother on this big family day. 2 years later, as the war progressed, my mother asked me why I hadn't walked out. I reminded her. I was wrong, she said. A good lesson. It's okay to change your mind, especially about important things. Many of you have been watching Ken Burns' The Vietnam War. I chose not to, repeating to myself the cliche, I've already seen this movie. Now I'm ready to change my mind and pick up the reruns. As the Chinese curse goes, may you live in interesting times. And the 60s were for me interesting. I sense the times, they were a-changing. But I'm here today to talk about today, not about the 60s, not about the days of Ezekiel. I won't venture how we got into the mess we have in so many areas of life, both here at home and in the wider world. My question is, what can we do about it? What can this generation do to be more faithful to God? What can we do to be more responsible for laying a stronger foundation for the future? An incomplete list of the issues we face includes, see if you recognize one or two of these, Robert E. Lee High School, civil rights for African Americans, Hispanics, women, immigrants, gays, lesbians, transgendered, ethnic identity, the legacy of Vietnam and the Gulf War, the National Football League, Kneeling by Tim Tebow and Colin Kaepernick, the National Anthem, the American flag, the Confederate flag, to say nothing of health care, opioid abuse, the environment, disaster relief, inequality, and poverty. And I think it was after the previous service, somebody came up to me and said, well, that was quite a list, but you left out nuclear war. So I apologize. And imagine, even over the last year or so, Lord Jeffrey Amherst's genocidal tendencies have been subjected to scrutiny and criticism. So, Lee, Amherst, now wait a minute. This is serious. I read an article over a week ago featuring the head of Trinity Episcopal Church in Manhattan, which has a very fancy clientele, with a letter he wrote to Trinity parents at the beginning of the school year. And he mentioned a book by Jonathan Sacks, who's the chief rabbi of Britain and the Commonwealth. The book was The Home We Build Together. You may have seen the article. Sacks talks about what the difference is between a contract, the way most of the modern world purports to operate, and a covenant, a concept with roots in the Hebrew Bible. And I quote a couple of short paragraphs. In a contract, what matters is that both gain. In a covenant, what matters is that both give. Contracts are agreements for mutual advantage. They are undertaken by individuals or groups on the basis of self-interest. They have specific purposes and can be terminated by mutual consent. By contrast, covenants are moral commitments, and they are open-ended. They are sustained not by letter of law or by self-interest, but by loyalty, fidelity, faithfulness. Contract is about entitlement. Covenant is about fulfillment. A friend of mine in Louisiana tells a story from the last campaign in 1960 of Governor Earl Long, Huey's brother. Huey was assassinated in 1935, but his brother Earl outlived him by 25 years. And Earl was an extremely colorful character. Earl was upstate campaigning, and my friend, at that time an over-the-road salesman, happened upon a rally, and my friend heard the following. Everybody running is in it for what they can get. So am I. The difference between me and them other fellas is I'm going to get some for you, too. That's what's called a contract. You elect me governor, and I'll get some goodies for you. A covenant is about what you and I contribute, what we give, how we serve. An acquaintance of mine who was a Roman Catholic missioner, goes all over the country and speaks to parishes, quotes a rabbi's story about loving one another with the punchline, "You say you love me, but how can you love me if you don't know what hurts me?" Jesus tells us to love one another, to lose life so we can gain it, to become as uncomplicated as little children, to take up our cross and follow him, to put aside self, the essence of Buddhism as well, and to find ways to serve the poor, the sick, the lonely, the imprisoned, the dying. We are to look for Christ in the faces of those most different from ourselves. What can this generation do to be more faithful to God? What can we do to be more responsible for laying a stronger foundation for the future? By thinking in terms of covenant, not contract, by a sense of generosity rather than entitlement. Some comedian noted many years ago what separates liberals from conservatives in the Episcopal Church. Do you know what that is? Anybody? The altar rail. I know which side I stand on, so my views are not necessarily your views. For me, I need to know the hurts and fears making people hateful towards one another today. We all do. If we know what hurts them, what scares them, maybe it will mean that we can really love them and enter into a relationship with them that can be transformative. In the midst of our genuine passion for our own beliefs, empathy and gentleness towards others is a way to stay grounded in the Lord. Amen.